union blames bad management, says it already agreed to big pay and benefit cuts. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and so great to have you along with us today on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Looking forward to a brand new week of broadcasting. As you know, I start the broadcast on Tuesday of the week, so this is my first one in the studio for this week, and so Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. This, of course, is the week that we celebrate Thanksgiving, and so I'll be re-airing a broadcast on Thursday and enjoying Thanksgiving with my family and some friends that are coming over to the house as well. And so looking forward to that, as I know many people in our listening audience are looking forward to that as well. And so we'll just do two live broadcasts this week, one today and then one tomorrow. I like at the beginning of the week to welcome you back from the Lord's Day on Sunday. I tend to end off Thursday's broadcast encouraging you to go to your church on Sunday morning to worship with the people of God, to hear the Word of God preached and fellowship together with the believers. And so having said that, I'd just like to give you sometimes a little bit of an update of what we talked about. We've been in John 17, and we looked this past week once again at the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ as we've been going through that important subject. And so we were this week in verse 20 of that chapter and just enjoyed a wonderful time of fellowship together with the people of God. We also do an evening service over with the shut-ins over at Shepherd's Care Assisted Living Facility in our Sunday evening service, and we met with them over at Shepherd's Care and just had a great time of fellowship together with them as well. And I hope you did, as I mentioned just a moment ago. This week on the broadcast, we're starting off today to talk about the subject of leadership, and even a little bit more specifically, the mistakes that leaders make. So we're going to focus on, you know, how to avoid, obviously, these types of mistakes. You don't have to learn this the hard way. You can learn this the easy way by learning from the mistakes of others rather than going through these mistakes ourselves. We'll talk about that in just a couple moments. On tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to be speaking with the folks there from World Magazine and talking about a couple of the stories that are in the latest edition of World Magazine. And then on the second half of the broadcast, we're going to be talking about a new book called Mismatch. And that's a book that looks at the idea of the affirmative action program, and we'll be looking at that and talking about, does it actually help minorities, or is it actually hurting minorities? A lot of times, these well-intended programs by different political parties, and they put these things forward, there's a lot of unintended consequences, and I think that this is one. It may have served some purpose years ago, but now it's kind of gotten all turned around, and it's actually causing more harm than good. But we'll talk about that on the second part of the program tomorrow. With that, let me read to you a little statement about where we're going in our conversation today. What I wrote on the blog this morning says this: anyone involved in leadership knows that it's tough and mistakes are bound to happen. But some mistakes are more costly than others and can result in the end of effectiveness, the loss of important relationships, and even disqualification from ministry. Using the story of a fictitious church team to demonstrate the problems, principles, and practice of finding solutions, leadership expert Dave Kraft uncovers the top 10 critical mistakes leaders make and shows you how to avoid them so that you can have a ministry and a relationships that last. My guest on the program today is Dave Kraft. He served with the Navigators for 38 years before becoming pastor of Mars Hills Church in 2005. Currently, Kraft is one of the pastors at Mars Hills Orange County, where he coaches the next generation of leaders. He's also a life and leadership coach with Ministry Coaching International, that's MCI. And Kraft's first book was called Leaders Who Last, and it was published in 2010. This particular book that we're talking about today is a book that's published by Crossway. Their website is www.crossway.org. You can go out there to find out more about this book. And I'm also going to go ahead and give away a couple copies of it during the broadcast today, courtesy of the good folks there from Crossway. The way for you to win these books or get an opportunity to win these books is to simply call in with your question or comment, or you can even email your question or comment as well. Very simply, we've set up a toll-free number. It's good nationwide, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. And the email address is just very simply kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's K-E-V-I-N at knowingthetruth, which is all one word, .org. With that, Dave, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Appreciate your inviting me. I'm looking forward to the time and hope it'll be helpful to everyone.
Great. I think it will be. As I've looked through your book here, it looks very interesting. Obviously, I want to ask you, you've been involved in this line of work, dealing with leaders for a number of years in different capacities, now as a pastor as well, and in the ministry that you have with leaders. But why did you feel that this particular book, especially from the angle that you come at it, you know, kind of the negative side of it, mistakes leaders make, why did you think it was so important at this particular time?
Well, you don't have to look very far, Kevin, across the landscape, whether you're talking about leaders in the church or leaders in the political realm or leaders in business, that a lot of mistakes are made, and they come in all different ramifications. Some are not all that huge. You know, you learn from it, you move on. Others are very costly. I mean, just in the last week in the news, we've been hearing about these two generals in the military.
Yes.
Call them mistakes. And when I use the word mistakes, it's mistakes slash sin, slash stupidity, slash poor judgment. And but they're very, very costly. I mean, we see a whole country in dialogue because of a serious mistake, a general, and then CIA director. I think it was FBI or CIA director, I forget which. But high up in the government, and he made a serious mistake that's costing him and a lot of people. So it's just very prevalent. My first book, Leaders Who Last, I basically focused on what does it take positively to finish well. And in this one, I focused on more things to watch out for that can torpedo you, sabotage you, and cause you to disqualify yourself.
Well, that reference to what's taking place in the news is so right. We not only see it with the two men that are currently in the news, but I saw a little news item where they were talking to another person connected with the general as well, and they asked them, you know about these mistakes, like you say, that are sin, basically what the scriptures would call sin. But these mistakes, and the person said, well, you know, if you're going to make adultery a qualification for leadership, well, that means that he said it jokingly, laughing while he said it. He said, you'd have to send home well over half the people in Washington. So here it is, apparently just acceptable in this man's mind.
No big
deal. But we can see, rightfully so, that he's called into question about his character and his ability to be able to lead. And this has damaged his entire career. And this is what you're trying to avoid, right?
Exactly.
You make a statement that your dad said many years ago. You talk about in the opening part of your book that your dad liked to collect quotes. And one of the quotes that you saw in his collection was, It said, show me a man who never made a mistake, and I'll show you a man who never made anything. It just comes with the territory that you're going to make some mistakes, right?
Right.
And
but
it,
you learn from the mistake. You learn from the mistakes, and sometimes when you're on the verge of beginning to make a mistake, there's certain things that help you to not take that step, to cut it off at the pass, as it were. You learn from other people. If you're a Christian, you're spending time with Jesus Christ and Scripture and prayer and repentance. You're staying close to His heart through the practice of those and other spiritual disciplines. And you've got some people around you that are willing to speak into your life, that are willing to warn you and caution you. I like to think of Kevin that King David had a Nathan and he had a Jonathan. And I've talked quite a bit on this over the years. He had Nathan to encourage him, and he had Nathan to challenge him and Jonathan to encourage him. And I think quite often what's missing today in the body of Christ is truth tellers who are willing to come alongside of leaders and speak frankly and honestly into their lives to keep some of these mistakes from escalating, or a smaller mistake becoming another one and then another one and then another one, and becomes a pattern of wrong judgment, of sinful action. So that's the whole idea is to, and I picked 10 of them, see how they played out and what the ramifications of them were.
Mm-hmm.
And then so people can read this and say, man, I don't want to make that mistake. Am I close to making that mistake? Have I already started on the journey of making that mistake? And what can I do to repent, to own it, to have people speak into my life and be restored to where I need to be?
Now, speaking about David and about leadership, you do a really quick but an interesting comparison between David's leadership compared with Saul's leadership in the introduction of your book. It's all based upon 1 Samuel chapter 13 to 15. Tell the listening audience a little bit of some of those points that you highlighted between David and Saul.
Well, I think I focused quite a bit on Saul. It's on page 12. If you just look at 1 Samuel chapters 13 to 15, these are some of the things that I observed. Insecurity leads to motivation by fear of failure. Circumstances, not God's desire, control his choices. Rationalization, not repenting, follows his sin. He loses the favor and respect of his own son. He loses favor with God. He assumes the problem is with others, so he's blaming, finger-pointing. He demonstrates inflexibility. I won't admit when he's wrong. Now, if you compare, that's about three-quarters of the list that's on pages 12 and 13.
Yeah.
If you compare with David, David was not sin-free.
Sure.
But the remarkable difference, I believe, Kevin, between David and Saul was when David had his sin pointed out, he acknowledged it.
Mm-hmm.
He owned it. He repented. He asked for forgiveness, and God restored him. Now, he paid a huge price for that.
Yes.
The rest of his life, his entire family was impacted by that sin with Bathsheba. But in Psalm 32 and 51, we have David's confession, repentance, and restoration.
Yeah, I love that passage, especially in Psalm 32 where David... He talks about the bitterness of unconfessed sin. He talks there about how the roaring of his inside of his soul all day, night,
yeah,
and long, and it actually had physical results upon him. His moisture was dried up. He said his bones were brittle as a result of this. But then when he confesses his sin, and then there's a huge change in the narrative there of what's taking place with him. And he suddenly feels this this freedom of now having confessed his sin to God, and then the relationship is restored back with God, and he moves on from there to be of usefulness,
yeah,
to God and in the ministry as well. So that is,
yeah,
an excellent passage. I wanted to talk about the style here just really quickly. You chose kind of a unique way of bringing out these 10 points, and we're going to go through some of those at the remainder of the broadcast, but you chose a style where you create a fictitious church for our listeners' sake, the church is called Covenant Community Church, or CCC. And then through that that fictitious church, you use the characters that you have in that church to tell the story. I would assume that's done just so that any of the stories that you tell, they're not directly related to other places that you've ministered. Is there any other reason that you did it this way?
Well, I think putting things in the context of a storyline communicates to people. Mm. They see characters come alive. They see interaction. They see conversations. They see some of the dynamics of leadership teams wrestling with issues. You know, when I first came up with this idea, Kevin, it was not well received. The publishers at Crossway told me this is really difficult to do, to pull it off well. Why don't you just write a book similar to your first book and just put it in the context of propositional truth, principle 1, 2, 3? And I said, I really feel strongly that the appeal of the book will go up exponentially if I can create a story. People like stories. Magazines sell because they're stories about people's lives. One of the great business writers today that I appreciate, I like most all of his writings, is a gentleman by the name of Patrick Lencioni.
Hmm.
And all of his books are narrative in nature. He tells a story, he couches the principles in the context of the story, and then when he gets to the end of the story, he pulls out the principles and unpacks them. Another writer who's been doing this increasingly is Andy Stanley. Three or four of his books are basically a story about people, about their circumstances, and then the principles that he's trying to get at are embedded in the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, another reason for it is, who was the greatest storyteller of all time? It was Jesus himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we refer to today as narrative theology. And Jesus was an incredible storyteller. Every time he wanted to communicate truth, he would tell a story about people, about tax collectors, about farmers. And so I think we're on good biblical ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to go through some of these 10 points that you have here. Let me do this first. Let me just remind our listening audience, in case you're just joining us, we're speaking with pastor and author Dave Kraft. He's the author of the book we're talking about today called Mistakes Leaders Make. It's put out by Crossway. Crossway's website is www.crossway.org. You're encouraged and welcome to join into the broadcast today and participate in the program via your email or via a phone call. We have a toll-free number set up. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Be happy to take your question or comment. And for that participation, we'll go ahead and get a copy of this book mailed out to you, courtesy of the publisher, crossway.org. With that, Dave, let me ask you about this first chapter. And this is really interesting, and I think something that that all of us struggle with. There's been a saying associated with this where somebody has said the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And
yep.
Unfortunately, that's a kind of a cute little way of saying it, but it's a very difficult thing to do. There's a lot of mission creep that's very easy to get off focus. Your first chapter is entitled Allowing Ministry to Replace Jesus as being the very first mistake listed in these 10 that you list here. Tell us a little bit about what readers would find in that chapter.
Well, it's a very common mistake. Let me just lift out, I've got a copy of the book in front of me here. Let me just lift out a couple of statements. I think we'll get a sense of where the chapter is going.
Okay.
One that says, our identity in and intimacy with Jesus slowly dissipates over time, and the ministry begins to occupy center stage.
Hmm.
Another statement, godly ambition has an insidious way of morphing into selfish ambition. So when you start out, it's godly ambition, it's to honor and please Jesus Christ. He's in the center. You love him. You walk with him. But over time, it's like the frog in the water. You know, you heat the water up gradually, and the frog is in big trouble, but he doesn't know it because it's like what you mentioned, the mission leak or mission creep.
Mm-hmm.
Another couple of statements. Now the staff, because the lead pastor had slipped into this, It was all about ministry, all about numbers, all about growth, and Jesus got left behind somewhere. The state, and now the staff felt as if they were business partners with all eyes on the bottom line instead of ministry partners with all eyes on Jesus. So it's really ministry idolatry, where something has come in and taken the centrality of Jesus Christ. And it's very easy to happen. But the problem with it is a person can easily deceive themselves into say, well, that's not really the case. It's really all about Jesus, and we're doing it to honor him and please him. But when you see it played out and you see the attitude of the leader and how he becomes manipulative, pushy, arrogant, over-demanding, then you realize that it's not really about Jesus. It's about him. It's about his kingdom, his glory, his numbers, his statistics, and then the whole thing just starts going further and further south.
You know, I think a good illustration for people to understand how this could happen, I think ministry leaders realize this somewhat, but just for everyone to understand how this could happen would be what takes place with Christmas with us. Here we are approaching the Christmas season. We all know all too well that very often the trappings of Christmas replace the meaning of Christmas. And Christ, right. Christ can very easily be lost in that whole process. I heard a story many years ago. I don't know the truthfulness of it, but the story went that a family had a young child, about a year old, and they had decided to have a birthday party for him. So all the guests came, and they were in a cold weather area. And when they came, they all had coats. Well, they had laid the baby on a bed in their bedroom. And the baby was sleeping on the bed, and as the guests came, they were putting the coats from the guests on the same bed at the end of the bed. And pretty soon, without even realizing it, they had actually covered the baby with the coats and almost ended up suffocating the baby with the trappings or the coats of the one that they were actually coming to celebrate his birth. And I thought, with the Lord Jesus Christ, we see that same thing happening. And now in your book here, you're saying this can happen in his church as well, that he could actually be snuffed out by the ministry or the trappings of the ministry.
Right. I think it's just another attack of the devil. I say it can happen slowly over time, so it's not obvious and evident. But over time, it just the switch happens where something else is driving the whole church or the whole ministry, and it's not Jesus anymore. It's not love for him. It's not honoring him. It's not pleasing him. It's actually, if we refer back to Saul again, he fell into that trap where the leadership was all about him.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about how people thought about him, that they respected him. It talked about somewhere in that same section, 1 Samuel 13, he went out and built an altar to himself. And he was very pushy and demanding. He was inflexible. So, you know, what started out well, and he was God's chosen man, and God picked him, but over time it just shifted so that the whole leadership and everything was about was all about him. And he was, even at the place, believe it or not, where he was willing to kill his own son, he didn't agree with him. And you know it's gone way too far.
Yeah, good point.
When that happened.
Good point. Dave, how does this relate when we find ourselves right now in evangelicalism and even within the Reformed elements in evangelicalism? We find ourselves in a little bit of a celebrity cult mentality, This is taking place all around us. This is a kind of a dangerous development that's taking place. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's gone way too far. I mean, we live in a celebrity culture where we have celebrity Christians, celebrity pastors who are worshiped, put on a pedestal, buy their books, get their CDs, all of these things. And I'm not saying per se it's wrong to have strong influence, to sell books, to sell tapes, so forth and so on. I mean, I do the same thing. But we need to be really, really careful that all of those things are not an end in and of themselves. They are a means to an end. And the end always has to be to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring glory to him. It's about his kingdom, not about my kingdom. It's about his agenda, not about my agenda. It's about his plans and purposes, not about my plans and purposes.
Mm.
And sometimes a leader just doesn't see this. I mean, they just don't even know what's going on. And that's why I think it's important to have a Nathan.
Yes.
Somebody else will see it. And even in the book, I pointed out that even people on Norm's staff saw it happening and tried to bring it to his attention, but he had nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fortunately, and I'm not going to give it away, fortunately, he eventually saw it. And if people get the book, they'll find out how he saw it, the circumstances that God used to bring it to his attention, and how he repented of it.
Amen. Well, I was thinking that same thing about the contrast between building our own kingdom and building the kingdom of God. We've got to be very, very careful. We're going to come back in just a moment. We need to take a very quick commercial break. But when we come back, we'll go ahead and pick up on the next chapter. The chapter speaks about allowing comparing to replace contentment. We begin to compare ourselves with others, our ministries with others, our churches with others. And that can very easily destroy contentment. We'll talk about that with our special guest today, pastor and author Dave Kraft. We're talking about his book, Mistakes Leaders Make. It's put out by Crossway. That's www.crossway.org. We'll talk more about it when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
I hope you never miss a single edition of the Mike Huckabee Show. Oh, yeah, we get into politics and talk to the newsmakers every single day. They want to be on our show because they know we'll talk to them straight and clear. But it's not just people who are in politics. We talk to folks from the entertainment industry. We do movie reviews. We try to make sure that we cover all the landscape of politics and culture. Join us every day on the Mike Huckabee Show.
Today at noon on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Since the revolution of the 1960s, the moral revolution, we have two nations of people trying to live side by side with radically opposing sets of values and belief systems. The Apostle Paul tells us we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers and forces and spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a spiritual battle that requires spiritual arms and equipment to be engaged in it. In a few months, we're going to be gathering together thousands of Christians in Orlando. And the title of this coming conference is No Compromise. And we have a marvelous cast of speakers assembled for this event. We have Sinclair Ferguson, we have Dr. Bob Godfrey, we have Steve Lawson, R.C. Sproul Jr., Alistair Begg, and Ravi Zacharias, and even Cal Thomas. And so I urge you to come and stand with us and stand together, bearing witness to the kingdom of God.
The last thing you need is a car that breaks down. Your independent, full-service auto repair center, Just Right Auto Repair, works almost foreign and domestic cars and light trucks, including Subaru, Lexus, Acura, and Infiniti. Let Just Right Auto Repair handle your regular maintenance needs and save up to 25% over dealer cost. Just Right Auto Repair on State Park Road near Cherrydale. Phone 242-1961 or check us out on the web at justrightautoinc.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition, or the second half, I should say, of the Knowing the Truth radio program. That's what you get when you're reading at the same time as you're speaking on the radio program. You just, you know, you say what you normally say, and it's not time for that. So, anyways, I'm back with you. And I just wanted to make mention, you heard one advertisement run there just a few moments ago. This is going to be a good one. Again, out there at Ligonier Ministries, you heard it run, www.ligonier.org. But that was RC speaking about their upcoming 2013 national conference. It's called No Compromise. It is a little bit earlier this year. It's normally in March, and this year it's in February. So it's going to be February 21st through the 23rd in 2013. RC gave you the list of the speakers that are going to be there, but it looks like another really good one. I went last year. Last year was on the Christian mind. I thought that was a great topic. because it was all about thinking and thinking biblically. This year it's on no compromise, and boy, do we need to hear that message today. We're living in a day and age of compromise, and so many people saying we have to tone the message down and shave the rough edges off of it and make it more palatable to men and these types of things. Well, I think just the opposite, and I think we're going to hear why when we go to that conference, so you don't want to miss that. Also, I wanted to let you know about two other things that are happening here, and this is more regional. It's actually happening right here in the upstate of South Carolina, but the Gettys are coming here to South Carolina. They're coming to other areas around here as well, up in North Carolina, and you can go out to gettymusic.com to find out more about that. But two events are happening right here in the upstate of South Carolina that I want you to know about. One is, they're both happening on the same day. It's Thursday, December 13th at 7 o'clock in the evening. Both Keith and Kristen Getty will be here as part of their Joy and Irish Christmas tour. And they're going to be over at Taylor's First Baptist Church, which is on Main Street in Taylor's, just up the road here off of Wade Hampton Boulevard. So they're going to be here. Don't miss that concert. It's going to be excellent. The tickets for that concert are available at Crossway Bookstores. Now, crossway.org, the website that published the book we're talking about today, and Crossway Bookstores are two different things. They're not the same company. But anyways, the locally here, if you want to purchase tickets for that upcoming concert, you can go out to gettymusic.com. That's gettymusic, all one word, .com, and you can purchase your tickets there. Or if you're shopping around locally and you're over there at Crossway, you can stop in there and get tickets as well. They do offer a discount for 10 or more tickets. So if you buy a group of tickets, you get a $5 per ticket discount. I think the ticket price was about $20, and the group price is then $15. Okay. On that same day, at lunchtime, so this will be December 13th, Thursday, December 13th, from 11 to 1 p.m., both the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast that you're listening to now in conjunction with Christian Talk 660, the station here that we're broadcasting on, we're going to invite church leaders and worship leaders, music directors, to a special lunchtime event that's organized as part of that tour, that Christmas tour with the Gettys. And our special guest speaker at that lunchtime event will be Keith Getty. He's going to be there. It's giving an opportunity to hear Keith speak about his vision for vibrant, theologically rich congregational singing. So we thought that this would be a great opportunity to bring together pastors and worship leaders, music directors, all in one place in order to hear Keith talk about why this is so important and to also give us some tips about how to do it and do it well in our congregations. We're going to be meeting over at Mitchell Road Presbyterian Church, which is on Mitchell Road, runs between East North Street and, I forget the other street at the end of that, but Mitchell Road Presbyterian Church. There's a map out on my website, so you can just click on that. It'll tell you how to get there. And Sermon Audio is offered to give away a free iPod Touch at this event as well. So the guests that are coming will have an opportunity to win that. The event is absolutely free. And so it's open whilst space is available. We do have limited space. I think that we're locked into no more than 125 people can attend. And I think about half of that is already filled. And so if you're interested, if you're in music, the music team at your church, and you want to come and be a part of this, especially if you're in the music leadership or a pastor at the church, here's your opportunity. You want to register for it, you can go out to www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth, and you'll see it under the events section there. You can also go to my website at knowingthetruth.org, and we'll have it out there soon on the Christian Talk 660 website, a link out there for you to be able to register there as well. Don't miss this. You got to sign up very quickly. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and give away one of Keith and Kristen's latest CDs. They got one out called, I think it's Hymns of the Faith. I'm going to give one away. You won't be able to pick it up today. I'll bring it with me in the studio tomorrow, but I'll let you call in today. Let's take caller number 3 If you want to call in today, I'll go ahead and give you a copy of that CD. You have to come by the studio here in order to pick it up, 2420 Wade Hampton Boulevard. Let's go back to our discussion now with our special guest today. We're talking with Dave Kraft about mistakes leaders make. We've already looked at the first one a little bit. Dave, the second one says this. It says the mistake is allowing comparing to replace contentment. How do we do that? And how do we, even more importantly, how do we avoid that?
Well, hey, Kevin, before I go to that, let me just mention quickly, a lot of people have profited from the first book I wrote and the second one. I just want to let the listening audience know that I have a website. It's DaveKraft.org.
DaveKraft.org.
There are actually two seminars that I have traveled around the country, and I'm doing it next year as well, based on each of these two books. So if there's a pastor listening or a church leadership person listening and would like to consider having me come out and conduct a seminar with a host church and inviting other churches in, you can go to the website, and under the seminars tab, you'll see information, what the seminars include, the topics that are covered. On this website, everything is free. I never charge for anything. I don't have a mailing list, so I can't contact anybody who subscribes. Mm-hmm. You can go on the home page and subscribe. I do three posts a week on leadership. Believe it or not, Kevin, there are over 500 pieces, articles, book notes, posts, all related to leadership types of issues on this website. So I like to tell people it's a leadership gold mine, a treasure chest, a lifetime of inspiration. So at DaveKraft.org, they can go there, have some fun, look around. Everything is free.
Excellent. You know, Dave, just before you go into that that second point then, since you brought that up, let me ask you very quickly, for folks that may not have been familiar with your first book, tell us just briefly about that book, and then talk to us just for a moment about how these two books relate.
The first book, Kevin, is Leaders Who Last. And we talk about the idea that a lot of leaders don't finish the race well, so it's based on positive things that you can do, investing in other leaders, learning how to pace yourself, your relationship with Jesus Christ, having a clear sense of calling and purpose. Those are some of the topics in the first book, Leaders Who Last. It's done extremely well. I've heard from literally people all over the world. There are churches around the country that have taken the book and walked through it with their staff, have taken leaders through it, have digested and discussed the chapters in staff meetings and elder boards. So the first book is pretty much on this is what you can do to make sure that you finish well. Hmm. And the second book is these are the things you need to be careful of not doing so that you finish well. So we're looking at kind of both sides of the coin here.
Excellent. Okay, great. I'm glad you mentioned that. I'll mention it again at the end of the broadcast as well, but it's DaveKraft.com, right?
.org.
I'm sorry, DaveKraft.org. And folks,
yeah, one word, DaveKraft, DaveKraft.org.
I'm out on it now, and I just saw the articles list there. You're right, man. There is a treasure trove of leadership-related articles out here on this website. Looking forward to looking through a number of those articles that you have out there. Dave, in this this second chapter, then, that we're talking about comparing, we got to be careful not to allow comparing to replace contentment. Just tell us a little bit about that as well.
You know, a lot of this comes out of my own life. In fact, I say in the beginning of the book that I have made most of these mistakes or been in a church or on a leadership team where these were mistakes were made. I've probably been in 15 different churches. I've been in Christian ministry for 45 years, and I've been in at least 15 different churches that I can remember. And so what we have here is a composite of many experiences, my own leaders and pastors that I've worked with. But this one particularly is very, very prominent. I have four things, Kevin, that I pray for myself every day. Mm. I pray for purity. I pray for humility. I pray for contentment. And I pray for patience.
Mm.
And the contentment one goes something along the lines, I pray that the Lord would help me be content with who I am, where I am, what I'm doing, and what he's doing. And we live in a very competitive church culture where everybody's comparing everything and everybody with each other. A verse that has sort of become a life verse for me on this subject is 1 Corinthians 4:7. Now, in the NIV or the King James or the NASB, it'll say something along the lines of, who's made you different than anyone else, and what have you that you didn't receive?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you received it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? I've become very fond over the last few years of Eugene Peterson's rendering of the Message. Now, I know it's not a translation. It's a commentary, a paraphrase, a translation rolled into one. But nonetheless, I like it, and I think the way he renders certain passages make them come alive. So Eugene Peterson's rendering of that same verse, 1 Corinthians 4:7, isn't everything you have and everything you are sheer gifts from God? So what's the point of all this comparing and competing? Now, one of the things I like to do, Kevin, is when Scripture asks a question, I like to try to answer it with the help of the Lord. So the question is, so what's the point of all this comparing and competing if I truly believe that everything I am and everything I have are sheer gifts? Well, the answer is there is no point. There is no point in comparing and competing if I truly believe that everything that I am and have is a sheer gift from God. I should be happy. I should be content with what I have. Now, if I don't believe it, if I believe I have to compete, if I have to excel, if I have to pass up other people in order to have contentment, then my whole view of it being a sheer gift changes dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent points. Of course, this dealing with the resting in the providence of God, that God has put you in a particular place. He's given you a particular ministry. Everything is taking place according to his plan and purposes in our life. It's easy for people to say that and to check it off in our creed and say that we believe it, but we actually have to live by it. We have to, whatever takes place in our life, we have to say, well, this came to me by the hand of God and accept it as such. So that's a very important point. Dave, you have 10 of these items on here, but I know we're not going to make it through all 10, so I want to jump to a couple that the titles have jumped out to me, and I just want to get, so I'm going to jump down to number 8 jumped out at me. It said this: allowing perennially hurting people to replace potential hungry leaders. And that was one that just made me think for a little bit when I looked at that chapter. So I wanted you to go ahead and recount it for us a little bit on the broadcast, if you would, please.
Okay. Well, first, I think it's important that folks don't misunderstand what this chapter is saying. I am not saying that hurting people are not important, that we should kick hurting people to the curb, that we don't have any time for them. The problem is, in a lot of churches, hurting people reach out very quickly. They have huge needs. They want help. They want to talk. And quite often they will go straight to the leaders, to the lead pastor. That's where all the counseling takes place, where people want to talk. They want to share their burdens. They want to share their pains, their stories. And it's all very legitimate. The problem is if the pastor or the leader's time is going exclusively or predominantly to that group of people, to the place where the pastor or the leader has no time to develop other leaders to help them with that group of people.
Hmm.
But what it does over time, it just sinks the person because that load becomes greater and greater. And I think what we see today, Kevin, and you can weigh in if you would agree with this, that we are seeing more and more significantly hurt people coming from dysfunctional families, from horrendous sins that have been committed against them. And so they come into our churches, they embrace Jesus Christ, and they have a lot of history and a lot of hurt and a lot of pain that they need to unpack. And there's no lead pastor. I don't even think there's a staff of pastors that can adequately address this need. So the need is always to raise up other leaders who have gifts of mercy and helps and all of the counseling kinds of gifts that we need in order to minister to this group of people. So it's a catch-22. If the leader simply go into this hurting group of people and try to minister to them, but don't develop other people, pretty soon it just sinks them. And then they can't get to anything else. So the key is when those people replace the developing of other leaders and discipling capable leaders. Well, that's the whole gist of the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And the person in this chapter that we talk about is a person who had a huge heart for those people and was spending more and more time with them to the place where they were absolutely exhausted and depleted. And their leaders at Covenant Christian Church were pleading with them to make time to find other leaders that could help them and develop those other leaders to share the ministry with them.
Hmm.
But it took them quite a while to get there. And fortunately, they got there before they basically just keeled over because of burnout.
Hmm. I saw a tweet a while back. I wish I would have written it down or had it succinctly the way that it was put out. But the gist of it was this. It said, the pastor who is always available whenever somebody needs them will not be of much value once he actually arrives. And the concept was, is if you, like you're saying, you spread yourself so thin and that you've got to be there for every single event, is something's going to have to give, and you know, your time with the Lord and other things that must be done, so that pretty soon when you are going to be arriving at these events, you may not be in the best position to actually help them out.
Exactly, absolutely.
You know, this kind of feeds into the growth of biblical counseling in our day and age as well. You mentioned that it was one of the things that we've been seeing is that a lot of other more people coming from dysfunctional situations and backgrounds. And then you add to that the growth of biblical counseling or nuthetic counseling, these types of things, so that the pastor is handling a lot of those situations. And you're right, if we're not careful, it really can be a recipe for disaster unless we're training other leaders to be able to do that.
Exactly, absolutely.
Some of these things take a significant amount of time. It's not just, you know, one conversation or, you know, here's two Bible verses, call me in the morning. It takes a long time to decipher what's taking place and where the help is actually needed. So really that can take up a tremendous amount of time. One of the other chapters that jumped out at me is something that I thought was really important was chapter 9, and it says allowing information to replace transformation. Obviously, we're looking for real biblical transformation, but sometimes I think we fall into this trap of just thinking that, well, what people really need to make that happen is just more information. So speak to us a little bit about that pitfall.
I think there's a verse, I could be wrong, I think it's in 1 Timothy chapter 3 where it talks about people forever getting information but never able to come to an understanding of the truth.
Yes, ever learning.
Ever learning and never able to come to an understanding of the truth.
Yes.
And so I think it's another one of these deals, and that chapter is different than the other chapters in the book, Kevin, because now we're talking about the congregation as a whole, as with the permission of their leaders, has bought into this thing that, well, we just need to give people information, and if they just had all the right information, their lives would be changed.
Mm.
And I don't think that's true. I don't think it's information that changes someone's life. It's information that's understood and applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 13, if you know these things, you are happy if you do them, or you're blessed if you do them. So I've come to the conclusion from that one verse, and there's others that say similar things, that the blessedness or joy or fruitfulness in the Christian life is not a matter of what I know, but what I do with what I know.
Hmm.
So what happens in churches today is go to this conference, read this book, listen to this guy, read his blogs, and do all of these things, and you need more and more information, and then everything is going to be fine. And I'm obviously not against information. Obviously,
right.
We need information. The Bible gives us information, great preaching and teaching, Christian books, even Christian music. Good Christian music has good theology and information.
Right.
The problem is that the information in and of itself is not going to change you.
Mm.
So we need to talk more about how information can be transformative in our lives through the power and through the work of the Holy Spirit, through repentance, through responding to the grace of God in community, of having people speak about what is God showing you, what is he teaching you, and with his help and by his grace, what are you doing about it?
Yeah, well said. I wholeheartedly agree. I think that this relates to the idea of the lack of biblical meditation in our world today.
Amen.
The Puritans were masters at this. We're so busy and so distracted that we just do not take time. If you were just to take a smaller amount of Bible reading but actually meditate upon it, it would it would do more transformation than reading huge amounts of scripture and then not even understanding what you read. And so we've got to get back.
That's a huge value for me. At the seminars that I do, and I've done about 30-plus around the country.
Mm-hmm.
I did one in India next year. By God's grace, I'm going to be in Puerto Rico, Germany, England. Mm. And the seminar is divided up into three pieces. And in each piece, after I presented some information, I give them what I call think, write, pray time. And what did God show you? And I have an actual sheet in the seminar book where they transfer thoughts to a single sheet. And then I get them into a small group to discuss and dialogue about what they just wrote down, what God taught them or made clear to them during the seminar. So I think the two things that are missing today with that overemphasis on information is, as you say, well said, Kevin, meditation, taking time to think through and pray over the information you've received, and then discussing it and dialoguing over it in a group of other Christians, community group, cell group, house church, whatever you want to refer to it as. Those are the two things that are missing.
Mm-hmm.
But all this information, it's like going to the fast food restaurant. We're just inhaling it. We're not taking time to digest it and let it, you know, and so we're getting all kinds of physical illnesses because of we're eating on the run and fast food.
Yes.
But I think we need to add in people slow down. You know, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. And we have a hard time being still. We're antsy. We're running. We're going 150 miles an hour. To sit still quietly before God, meditate, think on Scripture, and then have conversations with other Christians. I think those things, two things, need to be added into the information piece.
Amen. Well said, Dave. Unfortunately, our time is gone, and I want to leave enough time to give your website again and Crossway's website. But thank you very much for talking through the chapters of your book with us today.
You're welcome, Kevin. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, Dave. Thank you. That was Dave Kraft, pastor and author of the book that we're talking about today called Mistakes Leaders Make. That book is available via Crossway. That's www.crossway.org. Dave also mentioned his website, and I was out on the website as he was mentioning it, but it's www.davecraft.org, and you can go out there to find out all kinds of information. He's got a lot of articles that he mentioned out there. He's got the books that the one book that we talked about today, as well as his previous book. There's lessons from the Learn from These Leaders and book notes and posts and all kinds of helpful information out there. Again, it's www.davecraft.org, and you can go out there and find out more. I also let you know about a couple of upcoming events during the broadcast today that I want to make sure that you're aware of. The Keith and Kristen Getty concert is coming here to the upstate of South Carolina, as well as in Samaria's in North Carolina as well. So if you want to check out those, our listening audience extends to North Carolina as well. The place to go is GettyMusic.com to find out where these are. That's www.GettyMusic.com. And don't forget, Keith Getty is going to be with us right here as part of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast and Christian Talk 660. We're hosting a special luncheon just for pastors and worship leaders, music directors. That's going to be held over at Mitchell Road Presbyterian Church on Thursday, December 13th. It is free for you to attend. However, space is limited, and it is being taken up very quickly. So you want to hurry up and get out there and get your name on that list. We're going to be giving away a free iPod Touch at that event. You won't want to miss it. Keith Getty will be there with us. Remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life and Liberty Radio, Christian Talk 660, WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and also on FM 92.9.